We have peace with God. The wall's been broken. Some of you might be saying, well, wait a minute. If I give in to this Jesus who is called the Christ, what are my friends and family and co-workers going to say? Have you ever maybe considered that maybe by you submitting to Christ and surrendering to Him, that that might actually be the catalyst that they do the same? I mean, could it be possible that we're living in disobedience and we're holding up the train? Train's ready to leave the station. And we're holding it up because we're too inundated with us and not inundated with our King.
Welcome to This Day in the Word with Pastor John Couch, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. It is a joy to have you listening today, and we pray that you will be encouraged, challenged, and motivated to live for God like never before. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor John Couch.
Hey, this is John Couch with This Day Ministries. Thanks so much for tuning in to This Day in the Word. I'm excited about today's program because we conclude our time in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, as we're looking at the concept of peace. So many people are craving peace, and yet they're looking in all the wrong places. God's word is very clear that in order to have the peace of God, we first must make peace with God. Matter of fact, when you look at the Gospel of John, Jesus says some powerful words in John chapter 14, verse 27. He says this, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you." And then he makes this powerful statement, "Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid." You know, the evil one wants you to be dissatisfied and to be afraid wherever you are, therefore not having peace. And yet Jesus says just the opposite. He says, look, have peace. I came to give it to you abundantly and free. Rest in me. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. And so I pray that as we take God's word together right now, we turn to Romans chapter 5, looking at verse 1. Oh, I pray we will be greatly strengthened, encouraged, and challenged as we listen to the conclusion of the message entitled, "Do I Have Peace with God?"
See, we've been justified. We are heirs to this throne. But the second part of this verse 1, what is the result of being justified by faith? It's the mission critical part of this verse. We have peace with God. That the peace with God comes tethered with faith in God through His Son Jesus. So many people, I said earlier, I mean, if you said, hey, how many people want peace? We'd probably get everyone in the room raising both hands and both feet, right? But how many people really want to count the cost? How many people are willing to pay the price? That there is a price to this. You understand this, don't you? From a biblical perspective, there is a price. It's free, but yet, you know what? I can no longer be the old John. Nor should I want to, if it's real. If it's real, I should detest the old John. Because it's real in my life, I do detest the old John. Man, there's a lot of baggage back there. There's a lot of, man, I wish I had some do-overs. There's a lot of sin and shame and heartache and embarrassment. Come, but I've been justified by Christ. There's nothing greater you will ever have. Don't listen to the enemy. He will lie to you all day long and tell you, yes, there is. No, there isn't. The greatest thing you will ever have in this life is peace with God. You say, well, what do you mean by this? What do you mean? Do you understand that when you look at Scripture, that God is at war with those who are not under the Son's blood? You say, well, what do you mean? Where are you going with this? Listen to just Ephesians 2. Just listen. Listen to Ephesians 2. Make a note of Ephesians 2. Read it later. But just listen what happens pre-Christ, post-Christ. Listen closely. Before Christ, we were spiritually dead. We once walked according to the prince of the power of this air, Satan. We were sons of disobedience. We were children of wrath, having no hope. We were once far off. We had enmity with God. The Greek means this. There's hostility. We are in direct opposition to the great God of the Bible. We were strangers to God. We were foreigners towards God. That was pre-Christ. You want to hear what happens after Christ? But God made us alive together with Christ. By grace we've been saved. We've been raised up. He's made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that we might show the exceeding riches of His grace and the kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. We now have the gift of God. We are His workmanship. We were brought near by the blood of Christ. He Himself is our peace. Christ has broken down the middle wall of separation. Christ has abolished the enmity between God and man. Christ created the new man and made peace with God. We were reconciled to God by Christ. Christ put to death the enmity between us and God. Through Christ, we now have access to the Father. We are now fellow citizens and saints because of Christ, period. Wow. Is that not awesome? I don't know how bad your morning's been, but how much more could you want than that? Therefore, do you understand this, church family? Do you see? Do you see why Satan is so tenacious to drag as many people down with him as he can? Do you see it? Do you see what he will blind people into doing? The deception will become so thick that they can profess Jesus on one hand and live for Satan on the other. Therefore, we must understand what's at stake. We have peace with God. Key number two, write this down. Key number two. Peace with God precedes or comes before the peace of God. We talked about this briefly, but I must come back to this here because it's so mission critical. So many people are going, man, I want God's peace, and I want tranquility in my soul, and I want my family to be good, and my church, and my business, and my ball team. That's all great. But the linchpin is that God be put back to where He needs to be placed. The enormity, think about this, of what happens when we are justified by faith is that we've been declared not guilty and we have peace with the God of the universe. Do you understand this, church family? I mean, are we getting this? The God of the universe who said, let there be light. The God of the universe who said, okay, Pacific Ocean, you start here. Oh, you stop there. Oh, Grand Canyon, mountain ranges, you're nope, done, good. The God of the universe. We just saw from Paul writing to the church of Ephesus that there is great enmity, there is great hostility between us and God when we are not under the blood of His Son, but turn that baby on its head. When we are walking in justification by the blood of the Savior, we have complete peace with God. There's nothing greater than having peace with God. Understand the magnitude of this church family. God is at war with mankind. He's not going to turn a blind eye to my sin nor yours. Please hear me on this. If you think that you can cohabitate with sin and not have the judgment of God come upon you, the only person you're fooling is yourself. This is why we must be a people that is so humble, that is so contrite, that we say, God, God, it's You and only You. That God, it's You doing the work. God, oh, we see how we are. We see us for who we are truly. And oh God, we fall on the mercy of Your bench. Please God, please God. He will turn a blind eye. but only as he looks through the Son and his blood. People say, I don't need to have Jesus. Yes, you do. You have no hope without him. Jesus is the way. He said in John 14:6, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And no one comes to the Father but what? But through me, Jesus said. Universalism and all the other nonsense that is out there is simply heretical teaching according to Scripture. Everyone who dies just does not end up in happy heaven. That's not how this works. Only those who are under the blood of Christ. Therefore, do you have peace with God today? Write this verse down, these verses down. Romans 5, in the same chapter, 9 through 11. Listen to what God's word says. Romans 5, 9 through 11. Much more then, having now been justified, here we go, by his blood, that's Jesus Christ's blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. And all God's people said, that's good stuff. The wrath is going to come. But when you're under the blood of Jesus, the Passover lamb, the wrath of God gets passed over. Amen. A second verse I want you to write down is this. Ephesians 2, 14 through 15. I alluded to it in our pre-Christ, post-Christ, if you will. But listen closely to what it says in Ephesians 2, 14 through 15. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of the commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. When Jesus Christ died, you understand this, and you know this there, that when Christ is there hanging on the cross, he's hanging there and he's bearing the wrath of God. And he did it so that you might live. See, he had to die so that you could have life. And because he died that you could have life, is there anything, listen, is there anything too costly to give back to him? Man, there's a whole bunch of people that are willing to give Jesus everything except themselves. They'll just push everything into the middle of the table. I don't like spinach. Here, you take it. Here, take this, take that. Me? You want my life? Wait a minute. I don't get to live the American dream. I don't get to accomplish my own goals and plans. What are you talking about? That's not what the guy on the TV told me. He said, send your war seat in. It's a bunch of nonsense. Jesus wants you. Not part of you. Not three quarters. He wants all of you. You say, but all I have to offer is my sin. That's the point. Just give him yourself and your sin. He'll take care of the rest. We have peace with God. The wall's been broken. Some of you might be saying, but wait a minute. If I give in to this Jesus who is called the Christ, what are my friends and family and co-workers going to say? Have you ever maybe considered that maybe by you submitting to Christ and surrendering to him, that that might actually be the catalyst that they do the same? I mean, could it be possible that we're living in disobedience and we're holding up the train? Train's ready to leave the station. And we're holding it up because we're too inundated with us and not inundated with our King. See, Jesus, through Him, the justification, we have peace with God. Spurgeon said it like this, if you are wondering about those who might come against you. Actually, let me rephrase that. When you do come to Christ, people will come against you. Here's why. Listen closely. John 3, we love verse 16, but look up later, 17 and following, and we know this, that men love darkness rather than light. Therefore, they do not want their evil deeds to be exposed. If you are light and you're in their sphere of influence, the light always exposes the darkness. And they will do everything in their power to make sure that your light goes out. Here's the problem with this. When you were justified by faith through Jesus Christ, it was a one-time event that can never be extinguished if it was real. So no matter what they do to you, that they may badmouth you, they may lie about you, you know what? You may die physically for Christ. And guess what? You've still won. Because you cannot lose. You cannot lose. Listen, church family, you cannot lose. Listen, you cannot lose when you're under the blood of Jesus Christ. It's impossible, period. You can't lose.
You're listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. All of Pastor Couch's messages are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. In addition, you can share your prayer requests with us via email. Our email address for prayer requests is prayer@thisdayministries.org. That's prayer@thisdayministries.org. And now, back to This Day in the Word with Pastor John Couch.
Spurgeon said it like this, if God be at peace with you, it matters not who is at war with you. Listen closely. The Prince of Preachers, Charles Spurgeon. If the great God of the Bible be at peace with you, it matters not who is at war with you. It gives you more opportunity to love your enemies. It gives you more opportunity to pray for them, to bless them, to intercede for them. You got to understand, please listen, you got to understand this, that people who come against the light are walking in darkness. People who are walking in darkness bump their heads into everything because they're walking in darkness. They can't see clearly. Sinful people sin. Hurting people hurt people. That's why we pray for them. Man, boldly. Oh, God, please. Such were some of us. We're not throwing stones at them because we were once there. We were once far off. We were once enemies of Christ. Oh, now we've been brought together and we pray for them. Lord, do the work. Lord, you have the power in my child's life to bring them to you. Oh, Lord, you have the work and you have the power in my husband's life or my wife's life or my in-laws or my parents or whoever it might be. You have the power. You can do it. Oh, do the work and do it now. Get in that prayer room and don't leave till you just plead the gates of heaven to prevail. You say, why do we do this? Because Christ gave everything for us. How in our right minds can we not give everything back to Him? Romans tells us this, right? Do not be conformed to this world, what? But by the renewing of your mind, present, right? Offer up your bodies is a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. Can you or I today go, God, here I am, I'm holy and acceptable? No, no, no. I have to go through Christ. And Christ says, here, look at me, God. Look at me. I'm pleading their case. Think about that one for just a moment. How many trial attorneys do you know that actually plead their client's case based on their righteousness, not trying to prove their client was innocent? Think on that one for a minute. And yet that's what Jesus does. that he comes on the scene in your behalf and he pleads your case. No, you are under my blood. You are one of mine. You've been justified. You've been declared righteous. You will never face condemnation again. You are acquitted of all guilt today and forevermore. Man, that's a hallelujah moment. That's what Tampa needs to hear. Tampa needs to hear this. Churches are dying by the droves. By the droves. Just in our own denomination, I heard 900 a year closing. Padlock, done. Padlock, done. No. We got the greatest, most potent answer to the greatest, most potent cancer called sin. And that answer is Jesus. Let's go take him to the streets of Tampa like never before. Speaking of Jesus, it's the last part, and this is what it says. All in context. Love this verse. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through what? Our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, in the Greek there, it's Kyrios. You got Lord Jesus, Jesus Christos, Messiah, Son of God, King of Kings. But understand this, that both our justification, being declared righteous and not guilty, and our having peace with God are grounded in the person and the finished work of Jesus and none other. That's where it's grounded. Jesus' sin-shattering death on the cross ripped the veil in two, and now we are catapulted into the presence of God with direct access. Don't you love this? I mean, think through this for just a moment, that when he died, Scripture tells us the veil was torn in two, giving us a straight shot to the Father. We no longer have to go through a human priest. We go through our high priest, and his name is Jesus. He's our substitutionary atonement. That he took your place, he took my place. Listen, never again can you be condemned when you are under the righteousness of Christ. Listen to me. Never again can you be condemned when you're under the blood of Christ. Therefore, O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of the sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, be steadfast, be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Amen. Write this verse down as I close. John 19:30. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. Do you understand what this means? It is finished. It means paid in full. That check is going to cash. That what he did, it took care of everything. That mission was accomplished from eternity past. That Christ came as God incarnate. That he went to that cross as he lived a sinless life. He was butchered and executed that you and I might live. He triumphantly conquered sin, death, and the empty tomb. And he reigns with the Father today. That's an amen moment, isn't it? That's why key number three in our final point is this. The only way possible to have peace with God is through Jesus. No exceptions. The only way possible to have peace with God is through Jesus. No exceptions. I love thinking of Colossians 1:21-22. And you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he is reconciled in the body of the flesh through death to present you, here it is, holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. Is this just not mind-boggling? That when you are justified by Jesus, we have this peace with God. There's no longer war. There's no longer hostility between us and him. He presents us. I mean, picture this. He's coming to God, presenting you as holy and blameless. I can remember standing there with my four children when they were born. Not all at the same time, by the way, but when they were born. And I can remember doing this in the little room there with the big window. I would hold them up. I would hold them up, showing them off to anyone. I was looking for anyone that would be willing to watch as I held them up. Anyone. Even the little kid that was visiting his grandpa. Hey, check this out. Why? Because I was proud. I was proud of my child. Do you understand this today? That no matter what you've done, it's never too big for the grace of God. Nothing you do can ever outreach God's gracious hand. And he will hold you up as blameless. And he will say, look, my son died for you, and therefore I'm in you, and I'm through you, and I'm going to work through you that Christ in you, the hope of glory, might be seen to a lost and dying world. I can't help but think of this concluding thought, that in the end, the only peace that matters is having peace with God. Because listen, if you miss God's peace, you miss everything. Do you have the peace of God today? No, really, I'm being serious. Can you say today without a shadow of a doubt, I have peace with God?
You've been listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. Don't forget that all of these messages are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. That's thisdayministries.org. In addition, if you have been blessed by the teaching of God's Word during This Day in the Word, we would love to hear from you. Our email address is info@thisdayministries.org. Thanks again for listening as we strive to honor Christ and impact our world as we spend this day in the Word.